This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, and boy, do we have new for you.
Show title.
Yeah. Hey, that worked. We have one news item, so it's singular. Yeah, we went through. Chris and I both looked through the news and like, there's not anything we really want to talk about this week. So, but there is one.
It was
item.
Either, yeah, it's this and like a 3-0 thing we don't think anybody in our audience demographic actually cares about.
I mean, there's always a few people who buy that stuff. I'm not
of course.
Yeah, I mean.
Just like the statues, we just haven't met any of them yet.
Oh, I know people that buy that stuff. It's not.
And those people probably know about it already.
There you correct. Go. Yeah, so.
I mean, I've got the pop culture shock ones, but that's like, you know, not quite the same level.
Yeah, it doesn't count, Don.
Yeah.
Although it counts in its own way. Like, that's a much more approachable kind of statuary product than the I can't even think of one of the brand names. Prime One Studios does some of those, like, super high-end ones that I can't even, like, imagine the target market for. But I'm sipping all over Kilby's intro, so let's get back to
that. So I'm Brian Kilby, and that was Chris. We also had Don. Rob and Diecast.
Hi.
Since I'm padding out the show, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers podcast, and by God, one of the world's first podcasts ever. We're celebrating our, 22nd year anniversary this year?
Crikey.
Yeah. That's only a couple months away. 22 years. Is your podcast 22 years old? No.
Is your child 22 years old? Probably not.
Are you 22 years old? Maybe
some,
not.
For some of our audience, no.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay.
That's okay.
I feel so bad.
Yeah. So, thank you for joining us on the show. We normally talk about stuff and things and what have you, Transformers stuff. You know, like, I think I was having a conversation with Triplett this weekend, actually about a meta conversation. Triplett is a friend of mine going back to high school who has been on the podcast many times over the years and is a frequent guest.
He was a regular on Fanboy Versus, the comic book podcast that hasn't been on for over a decade.
Yeah, well, our host died.
Well, the show died before he did.
Yeah.
We helped.
We miss you, JD. So, we're actually talking about, like, sort of having a meta conversation about what even is on topic for the show anymore. So, Radio Free Cybertron, again, this is for new listeners, is the Transformers podcast. We've been doing this for a while. I give a little bit of leeway to Hasbro product in general. So, you know, we'll talk some G.I. Joe, and once Power Rangers went under the Hasbro umbrella, that kind of was the end of it. Triplett actually said we're a Power Rangers show, and I'm like, we are not. But, you know, I'm also on the inside looking out. He's on the outside looking in, and if he thinks it's a Power Rangers podcast, maybe we should start marketing it that way because it's pretty popular right now.
I think the pre-show certainly, you know, has its moments of being a Power Rangers podcast.
Yeah, but so there's a lot of stuff going on in the general world of Hasbro and stuff, but we're...
And of course, the Marvel Legends.
Marvel Legends, yeah. But, you know, like I said, this week, there just doesn't really happen to be a lot in the way of news. There's a lot in the way of toys hitting shelves, just not my shelves.
Mine either.
Yeah,
I tried.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later. Let's jump to the new. So this is via Autobase. It's Aichi.
Autobase Aichi. Yeah.
The upcoming. Because
they collected all the information, so thank you.
Yeah. The upcoming second wave of the Ultimates from Super 7, the Transformers, which is similar to but different from Transformers Red. I call it a different market segment because of the cost. And since we don't have any of these in hand yet, it's really hard to say how they really vary from the other, like, Ultimate lines from, what do they do, Ninja Turtles and
Thundercats. And Silverhawks.
We have a Megatron, a Grimlock, a Trax, and a Bludgeon. So,
All right, can I go first?
Yes.
Well, you just did, so.
Goodness. I did not think I would be interested in any of these. The emotion, the way they did Grimlock's face, it's just something that I love about it. And the fact that they're giving you the apron and the tray and that he's actually in the box, like squashing Wheelie. Wheelie's in the background being squashed. I love this. I am getting Grimlock 100% no matter what. He comes with a fish. He comes with the apron and the normal brain transportation device that he used with Computron. It's I love this.
So this is their second Grimlock figure now that comes with an accessory Wheelie to ride on its back.
So weird.
This is where we're at now as a fandom. We just Wheelie's an accessory now.
Trax does not come with Raul.
No, because this is Action Master Trax.
Oh yeah, damn it, you're right. The he has his little Action Master partner.
Mm-hmm. He comes with a blur though, or a blaster.
He should still come with Raul though. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if it's the Action Master version or not.
Well, maybe they'll do like a special edition release with that instead of the Action Master tank.
It's interesting that of all these that are showing these four, the only one I have on order is Trax.
No, that seems perfectly in character for you, Don. That's not strange at all.
I mean, I am tempted by the Bludgeon, just because, I mean, I'll be honest, Bludgeon does carry a lot of weight with me, mainly because of the end of the Marvel G1 series.
Yeah, and honestly, if you want something that, you know, lives up to G1 Bludgeon better than most of the revisits we've had, this probably is your avenue to that. Like, it's not... There's not a robot inside this action figure. It's not a Pretender shell, but it's the, you know, closest updating to the Pretender shell as like a real toy.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. I'm having some technical issues when it comes to the what I can draw up on the screen. But yeah, Bludgeon is honestly looks really nice, and I love the fact that he has a little shield gun thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've incorporated some elements of how the toy worked, as well as going just by like the media design of Bludgeon in some ways. It's a pretty good fusion, although I'm not entirely sold on the what I will call neutral skull face.
The one that he comes packaged in?
Yeah, there's something a little bit off about that. I don't particularly like the other one either. Maybe if I saw it in the helmet, it'd be better.
The other one looks like Scareglow to me. When it comes to
I was kind of feeling the same on that.
Yeah. The neutral skull doesn't bother me so much.
There's something about that's not sitting quite right with me. It might work better as like a physical product. You know, these are all renders right now.
And no one's mentioned Megatron. I don't know if there's a reason for that, but
I mean, I'll be honest. It's so Megatron. It's kind of boring. I mean, it's
right.
It's I mean, it's just it's a great looking Megatron, but it's a really own spot on Megatron. And he's like, we've had so much of him for the last 35 years in general. It's just he's spot on. He looks great, but he's just kind of like. Nothing there makes me want him more than the other figures.
The the headset, was that from a Prime Problem? What is that from?
Yeah.
Okay. And
does he come with a bong?
No.
No, I don't know specifically what that flask is from in terms of the cartoon, but no, I guess no.
I was thinking for whatever reason I was thinking Roll for it, but that was Energon that he threw to blow up the laboratory, I'm pretty sure. For some reason, I was thinking it was a flask.
I also don't know what the little thing below Crimzeek is supposed to be.
When's the next time I'll get to see Frank Welker? Can I ask that? Can you do Megatron High?
No, you can't ask that.
No.
The thing below Crimzeek is the heart of Cybertron.
Heart of Cybertron, yes.
That they used in Trans Europa 2000.
Thank you,
Don. You're welcome. The flask...
It wasn't Heart of Cybertron the plot device from Microbots?
Well, no, I'm sorry. The Pearl of Bahudeen.
Oh, okay.
It was the Pearl of Bahudeen.
Yeah, that would be
Yeah. The flask, I remember it, but I can't place the episode.
So what we found
out... Well, Don's working on that, though. I will point out, he comes with, very similar to the Red figure, a hand fused to an Energon cube, but this is from Microbots also, and he comes with an option head so he can drink from the Energon cube and it run down his mouth because he's a sloppy drunk.
Yeah. What we've learned, though, from this conversation is Diecast never went to a voice actor's panel at BotCon. Or maybe he did.
Why did that happen? The
wrong lessons.
It was that was basically the same kind of question that always got. It was always do Megatron or do Microbots
do your drive through in this weird situation?
Yeah,
I've heard the drive through one.
They've heard the drive through one a lot too, Diecast.
Yeah,
I think
drunk
maybe the flask is Corostop from Cosmic Rust.
Ooh, that could be
okay.
I was going to say, I do like the Energon cube because at least it's not just like a solid cube like a lot like we're used to seeing. So that's a pretty cool accessory.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this, you know, this right now, this is the thing that has the closest comparison to an existing Red figure.
Yeah.
I mean, Optimus Prime was in Wave 1 and still was upcoming. But like for what we're talking about specifically today, this has a direct comparison for a Red figure. And like it's doing some of the same things the Red figure did. But it's doing it better in pretty much every respect. Now, to be fair, this is over 2 times the cost of a Red figure.
Yep.
And it shows.
Wasn't it Perceptor, though, that would have been the one who had, like, whatever MacGuffin they used to solve the Cosmic Rust?
Yeah, but when he handed it to Megatron and Megatron poured it on his hand, I think that was the sequence of events.
It's been forever since I watched Cosmic Rust.
It's certainly plausible, and it's the best theory we have right now.
Yeah.
I was checking the Discord, tfradio.net/Discord. Join us live every Wednesday. I was checking to see if they might have had some insights on this, but so far, nothing on that particular accessory.
Yep. So that's something.
Yep, these are something. I didn't pre-order any of Wave 1, and I'm still not pre-ordering any of these.
I've pre-ordered all of Wave 1 and 2. And as well as Wave 1 of G.I. Joe, including 2 extra Battle Android Troopers.
So hands up anybody who's surprised by that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. The Battle Android Troopers are the one that Kim has stopped me in the past and said, don't you already have a bunch of these? The answer was yes.
Well, Brian, just remember though, if they need something to fill a case up, or they need an easy convention exclusive, they're going to redo that bat with different accessory loadouts
or do a fire bat, like the red bat or the bat version 2, basically the G2 bat. I'll buy any version that they do of it.
Okay, so Blade Raider ruled out Cosmic Rust.
How so? What was his reasoning?
He posted a screenshot. Perceptor is holding a vial completely different from the beaker the figure has.
Oh.
Although the color of the liquid is similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't prove a lot, though.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fine. I'm sure we'll figure it out later.
Yeah. This is going to bug me until we do, though.
Good. Yeah.
You know what
bugs also, me? What's also going to bug you, Don, is not finding new toys, because there's some new toys out at retail right now. So, spotted at Walmart. What?
Are we going into that? Are we that short for news? No, do it.
Oh, Blade Raider found a screenshot of Megatron holding a flask. He just hasn't said what episode it is yet.
Ooh. Yeah, that's it.
That's the flask.
Yeah. So, spotted at Walmart's, originally in Missouri, I think, Studio Series, Current Wave, Voyagers, Wreck-Gar, and Thrust from the Bumblebee movie.
Yeah, Thrust is everywhere already.
Hmm.
Apparently, Thrust is 2 per case, Wreck-Gar is 1, so...
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's what I've been told. I have not been able to independently confirm it yet.
Wait. So Wreck-Gar's in the case with Thrust?
Yes.
Damn it! I've come across Thrust in 2 different locations.
Ah.
Yeah.
Did you see 2 of Thrust in each case?
No, I just saw 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw 2 different Walmarts.
Yeah, then you missed Wreck-Gar, and apparently 1 Thrust.
Damn it.
So if that's the case, I'm sure they're going to do Wreck-Gar in another wave.
So with the deluxes in Studio Series 86 so far, I'm pretty sure we have case assortments known already with reruns of each of the characters coming up. I'm not sure what we're going to see in terms of reruns of the specific Voyagers. There is a listing for Variant Hot Rod coming up. So I think that's going to be, we don't know what Variant consists of in this case. It might be like a slight color variation to be more pink than magenta for more movie accuracy, for instance. We just don't know for sure yet, but it seems like the Voyagers might go along the path of like Scourge to Sweep, where it's a minor change that makes it something technically different for, you know, the to please the retailers, but it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, I'm really hoping with Hot Rod they would do the Masterpiece alternate color,
the E-Hobby black Hot Rod.
Yeah,
I would like to see that too at some point. I don't know that they would list it as, you know, Hot Rod variation necessarily, but I would like to see that.
That could be a select thing.
I don't know offhand whether, like, what's going to constitute the rerun of Rekgar would be like a Junkion rather than Rekgar again, or if, you know, Rekgar is just going to reship a case assortment or two down, or if for some dumb reason Rekgar is going to be a one and done in this.
They had like to have Skirt done was. Alternate heads and stuff. I mean, I can't.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Like, I don't think there is anything over a deluxe that does not get alternate parts built. Well, maybe not a Titan, but, you know, everything gets alternate parts built in just so they have the option to rerun a mold later on and not have it be identical. It's more economical that way.
So let's see here. This has been up, like, except for when Target gets this buzzworthy Bumblebee stuff and they get like 50 on the case. This has been like the worst, like, market for me personally in years, like, to find anything between scalpers and everything. It's just so hard to find toys. I happened to go to Walmart last night, and I mean, it's not Transformers, but like apparently one of my Walmarts has Pokemon cards in the toy section. Oh. And a guy walked in, probably it looked like he was in his 30s, just bought up every single thing and walked out.
Oh.
And same thing with baseball cards. It's just crazy. And I've run across people doing that with, you know, Masters of the Universe. And I mean, I guess technically some of these people could be collectors, and somebody might see me picking up a couple things and like, oh, that guy's a scalper. But, you know, when I see somebody walk in, you know, with a shopping cart full of toys of, you know, the new stuff, I can't help but think that that stuff's probably going to go on eBay. And I'm still ticked off that that diecast founder, that guy got that Studio Series slag at my local Target. And I went there that weekend like 3 or 4 times to try to find it, and I've not come across it since.
Well, now I can't be sure, but when I stopped in the other day to check for stuff when I was there getting Massey food, I think I saw a guy walking out with a Turtle Party wagon.
Oh, I'm not going to get.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just I can't think of anything coming out that has those colors in that size box.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay, so Blade Runner solved the mystery of the Flask. It's from the Return of Optimus Prime, and it's a flashback. So this Super 7 Megatron comes with an accessory that only appeared in the flashback for a scene that they made up for the Return of Optimus Prime.
That's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah.
Oh, when they were fighting? No.
Return Gaming, of Optimus Prime. Gaming Fix says, that must have been a fun job for some new person. Go through all the episodes of Transformers and see what Megatron is holding.
I mean, it was a flashback to when they were fighting and her father was disfigured.
Yeah,
by them. That okay. was okay. So it was a chemical he was pouring in the flashback. Oh my god!
It was Gregory that was hurt, wasn't it? Wasn't that his name, Gregory? The guy that was like not her father, questionably her love interest. They're both there. Doesn't matter. I think it's great. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
I more remember Dark Awakening than Return of Optimus Prime.
Gregory, that's it. Yeah. I'm surprised I remember that dude's name. Okay. Okay, cool. What else? Anything else? Any other stuff that's popped up in stores?
Well, in Chile, Cyberverse Deluxe Cheetor was found in a store.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So no telling when it's going to turn up in the U.S., but somewhere in the world that popped up, and that's all I
got. The Chilean Transformers fans can enjoy that Cyberverse Deluxe Cheetor. Hey, so I'm going to say something up front.
All right, it's time for this.
We're going to briefly talk about Kingdom.
We're sorry.
We don't intend to go into any major spoiler territory, but it could happen. I am going to recommend, if you want like more in-depth conversation on Kingdom, because we're not going to go into it. There's a good podcast, hour and a half length, that Anthony put up for TFU Info with a bunch of my friends, a bunch of our friends, talking about Kingdom. And I wish he actually asked me if I wanted to be on it. And I'll be honest, I didn't know who was going to be on it. I mean, I honestly, I don't like being on other people's podcasts. It's just not something I'm crazy about. Even if I, you know, it doesn't matter if I love the person or not. It's just like, it's just not my favorite thing to do. So I'm like, I graciously bowed out. But like, you know, Hooks was on it. And I don't remember the last time I've ever actually spoken with him in person. It might have been 20 years ago. Ben Yi, Jenny, or Jen was on it. Gabe. It's like, you know, people that I've known for 25 years. And I'm like, man, I should have done that and just sucked it up. But I listened to it. It was a lot of fun. Most of anything that I thought about it, Hooks said, which is ironic because the running gag for the last
15 years. Yeah, you used to be Hooks.
Is that Hooks and I are the same person. That's why we were never in the same place at the same time. So. But yeah, and also I really just didn't feel like talking about Kingdom anymore. I'm going to have to talk about it on RFC, and I don't know that I can talk about it twice. So,
and in a way, you've already talked about it once.
Yeah, I mean, I did post a pod. If you listen to my review about it, you know that I'm conflicted because I want to like it. I can't. And like just in general, the whole trilogy, just I'm emotionally drained just in general.
Okay. So of the trilogy, Kingdom is the installment of this that seemed to actually like flow the best from start to finish. And it seems like for this chapter, they did what the first two didn't do, which was try to tell one single small story with their run of six episodes. Earthrise in particular was really bad about trying to use every episode to do something different in that setting that they had set up in the journey from Cybertron to Earth. And for that short run, it doesn't work. You can't do that kind of content with a miniseries length, basically, but Kingdom actually seemed to try to focus on telling one discrete narrative start to finish over that span of episodes, and it fit together better than either of the other two, at least in that sense.
So there are things to like about it. It has
color. I didn't say that.
No, it has color. It actually looks good.
Yeah, there's like light and vibrance and you know, chrominance.
Yeah, like it actually looks substantially better than the other series. I mean, the writing is probably a little better. It feels a little more coherent than the others.
A little snappier?
Yeah, it feels snappier. And there's some actual characterization in it that's not, you know, just, stoic. like Black Arachnia has a distinct character. From other characters. Ares, I think, is distinct from other characters. Rat Trap.
Black Arachnia, I think, is like their big success story in getting a character close to the original.
Yes.
Both
yes.
In terms of how the personality is presented and the way they sound.
Yes. Yes.
Because, boy, there was some choices or lack of choices, perhaps, with the voice casting for the new characters.
Yeah. I mean, so like the other series, they're using non-union talent. And
which, I mean, that's a choice. And
it is a choice.
Like, we're not here to judge that versus, you know, going union with it. But like,
I am.
Fair enough. I mean, that's not a conversation I'm intending to launch here, I guess, is more what I'm trying to say.
Oh, me either. But I am okay. Judging them.
I mean, I would prefer they use, you know, the actors that have, you know, put their time into developing these roles in the past, who, if they were using union talent, they could have approached for this. But again, that's a completely different topic I'm not really wanting to get into. But like, even in non-union talent, you know, you could find actors who can deliver, maybe not even sound alike, but can at least like deliver the same kind of speech pattern and performance that the original voice actors did to get the substance of the character across, even if they sound, even if their voice sounds a little bit different. And there is virtually none of that happening here. Black Arachnia is a very interesting exception to that. And Dinobot was kind of okay, but was still pretty off the mark.
Frank Turturro did a great job as Starscream, I think, and as Rat Trap, you know, generally as far as like the voices go. But then, but most of the other voices are not, they just don't fit.
Megatron. Frank Starscream has been good consistently all throughout this. And, you know, I was just referring to the newly cast voices for the Beast Wars characters.
Yeah. But like, just the biggest thing for me, I think,
Megatron?
No, not even Megatron. I didn't go into spoilers at all in my prior review. And I'll say this, and I know, I think Diecast wants to chime in. Maybe he doesn't. There's a lot, and this was a statement that Hooks made, so it's me copying Hooks. There's so many unearned moments in the series where, you know, they are echoes of what happened in Beast Wars. But these are not those characters. And this is actually basically verbatim from my review. These are not the same characters. They didn't go through the same life experiences. But we're supposed to have like an emotional connection to them because they share the same name, basically. And they go through some of the same experiences in the show. But there's just there's just a disconnect. It feels unnatural. And there are things that honestly, I'm almost slightly offended at that they tried to get by with, that were handled so wonderfully in Beast Wars after, you know, two full seasons of a series, where, you know, in this they're doing it after four or five episodes. And I don't want to say,
it's not just that we don't see these characters go through those same events, like the little bit of backstory that those characters present about what they've gone through in their time on prehistoric Earth, like, specifically means they went through different things. Like, it's not even a fill in the blanks from what you know from the previous continuity. These are completely different characters that went through completely different experiences. So none of what we see happen to them, like, there's not even the implication necessarily that it's earned, for want of a better word.
Yeah. Deckcast, what do you think?
It hurt my head. Especially when it seemed like at some points they were trying to reinvent the wheel because,
oh yeah,
and they wanted it to be almost like Marvel. Like, they mentioned the multiverse, they mentioned there was like time travel, and like, I think I would have been fine with it if they went back in time to meet the Beast Wars characters. Like, that would have maybe felt a little bit more right than they were trying to go in the future to meet Beast Wars characters, which it felt stretched. And maybe that's just because I have a predetermined notion of what should have happened.
Well, I mean, so the Beast Wars characters are simultaneously from the future and the past of the G1 characters. So relative to the Beast Wars characters, they're in the future of the G1 characters, even though they traveled to the past, that still took place in their past. So relatively speaking, it's the future. But in this, it's kind of
Kingdom's fault either. This is how it worked in Beast Wars too. Just Brian's explaining it almost as badly as Kingdom did, for as much as Kingdom tried to explain it.
Yeah.
And then not only did you know, the Autobots travel through time, but Galvatron's traveling through time.
Oh, okay, we're going there, yes.
Okay, so the Autobots didn't travel through time.
Well,
Earth they went to is parallel in time with the Cybertron they left.
So we're multiversing now.
Well, I mean,
no, the Maximals and Predacons traveled through time to get to the Earth that the Autobots arrived at.
Travel through space, long distances, you travel through time, technically, yeah.
Okay, but they didn't purposely travel through time.
No, that is true.
They did. They did not use any, you know, magical sci-fi to go from year X to year B or whatever.
Yeah.
But didn't they mention multiverse too? So yes. There was not only time traveling, there was multiverse.
They
showed
possible futures or futures that didn't happen or the futures that could happen. There are flashbacks to things that we saw in G1 and Beast Wars and such.
And I guess I shouldn't have watched it tired because at one point I almost fell asleep.
I watched it three times. And I fell asleep during the first viewing.
Okay. Because I did too. And I had to continue, I think, the next day what I didn't see. I don't know. It's all blur. It was like, okay, I got through it. I don't want to do that again.
I more had that problem with Earthrise than Kingdom. Kingdom kept my attention a little bit better. I'm not saying it couldn't have done a lot better, but you know, this was not as bad an experience to me as Earthrise was, which I think was the low point of the whole trilogy for me. But yeah, like they acknowledged the multiverse, which has been a thing in Transformers for ages now. Time travel is acknowledged because that's necessary to facilitate the Maximals and Predacons being where the Autobots and Decepticons ended up landing. So, like, they were there on purpose because that happened to be where the arc went, which is basically how Beast Wars worked, too, but for completely different reasons. It's a thing. So, like, from the things that they kept from the Beast Wars setting originally, and the way they use those things, you can feel like the writers, at least to some degree, know Beast Wars pretty familiar with for a fair degree of familiarity and, you know, have some respect for that because I feel like they treated that material better or wanted to include more of the important parts of that material than they did from like prior G1 stuff.
I agree fully on that. Yeah.
And you know, I appreciate that because Beast Wars is something that's been important to me and, because I can separate these from being the characters from the Beast Wars I watched before, like I don't feel maligned by the differences in this. And I appreciate that, like, they recognized they were going to this place. This is important to people. And they actually put in that effort to get some of these things in there and get them as right as they could under the circumstances.
G1 is not a singular thing, really. It kind of is, but it's mostly not. Beast Wars is mostly a singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do want to say I did like Airazor.
Yeah.
She was very good.
She was a solid character.
Yeah, the voice was very good and she was a solid character.
Yeah.
So she was like the standout of
her and Black Arachnia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sure tried with Dinobot, we'll just say that.
Dinobot confused me also because I'm like, this is kinda okay, he's just gonna go do his own thing, but he's gonna go do his own thing with Airazor and Starscream. Yeah. So
no, Brian was right at the start of this. There's things to like about Kingdom, and I do think it's the best of the trilogy. Just, you know, keep in mind the yardstick we're actually using to measure this with. That's still, you know, it's the whole trilogy's been better than all of Machinima, for instance.
Yes.
But I was just gonna say that it's funny you say that. I think I would rather go back and watch the Machinima
really
series again than this.
I think the Machinima has more of a train wreck quality to it, which is entertaining in its way.
And it's shorter.
And, you know, as Hey Mickey always points out whenever something like this comes up, it's much preferable to be entertainingly bad than boringly bad.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what G1 had going for it.
Machinima has, like, so many fumbles because, like, Verizon must have poured a bunch of money into it for their Go 90 platform because, like, if you just think of the stunt casting and how much of a waste all of it was.
Hey, but Samoa Joe, they had him.
They had Mark Hamill, and you would never know to just sit there and listen to it.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? Like, Ron Perlman's first outing as Optimus Primal isn't even going to be in a movie. It was on some dumb, you know, mobile device only streaming video show that nobody watched.
Like, I don't feel that there's a whole lot left that's not already been said about this, and I don't want to spoil it. I really don't. I don't like
spoilers. And I don't want to sit here and rag on it, you know, on and on, because like there are people who worked on this who I generally respect the work they do, and I don't want to be like I'm attacking anything that they've contributed to this, because like I said, there's stuff about this I liked. It was the best thing out of the whole trilogy, but like I think we're going to come to the same conclusion we always come to with this, is that we're not the fans this is made for. I don't know who those fans are, but it's not me.
Well, so there's an anecdote that I put in my review, and a similar anecdote came up yesterday. So with Earthrise, my wife's former boss texted me. He was like, "Hey, I watched Earthrise, Transformers Earthrise on Netflix." I'm like, "Oh, did you like it?" He's like, "It was okay." And he's never gone back to watch anything else. He's never spent a dime on Transformers. He said it was okay. My friend Ricky texted me yesterday. This is about as succinctly as I can put it. He's like, "Hey, should I watch this new Transformers Kingdom series?" And my response was no.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not that I don't think that there are things to like about it, but if you're not a dedicated Transformers fan, and even then I don't know that you should watch it, but you know, I don't know why you would watch it. It's not really entertaining exactly. And unless you want fiction to go along with the toys that you're buying, I honestly don't know why you would watch it.
Well, you know, I have not had a chance to watch it yet, but I've seen all this stuff crossing my timeline on Twitter and y'all talking about it as well. And it seems like to me, now I could be wrong, but they're going for those viewers who are old enough now who have just a vague amount of remembrance about the show, but they remember they liked it without any much context other than, "Hey, I remember that. That was kind of neat. I've got kids now," or whatever the case may be. And it's like they're just trying to hit this vague, nostalgic, not even trying for nostalgic, like people for us at Members Peace Wars, that 20, 30 something person who watched it and liked it and is like, "Oh, hey, I'll watch this. This will make me feel good because I like the show." But they don't have enough context to know what's wrong. It just makes them happy to see it because it's something that they grew up with.
Yeah.
On some level, "Hey, I remember that" is pretty much the bane of modern media. We could just do away with that and actually like write things for a change, and it would be much nicer.
Like, we had the prototype of all of this stuff back in, 2010, 2011, maybe? When did G.I. Joe Resolute come out?
Sounds right.
That is like the precursor to all of this kind of stuff. It missed the point exactly as much as this is missing the point, too, because, like, I think what a lot of the fans in our age bracket are looking for is stuff that is like the stuff we watched when we were, 5 to 10 years old, give or take. The stuff that was obviously aimed at kids, but was generally written intelligently enough to not talk down to the kids. I mean, G1's kind of borderline on that, but, you know, as you move on to the late 80s and into the 90s, you certainly get that more consistently. And there's a difference between that and being, like, you know, gritty and everybody's saying damn and hell all the time just because, like, we're not going to curse outright, but this isn't for kids exactly, you know? Yeah.
Hey, so
it's missing the point.
So a couple things. I don't know in which direction to go. I'll mention this. So I'm actually looking at the YouTube chat. Hey, folks. Hey, if you're not already in our Discord, tfradio.net/Discord, that's where we do look throughout the show every week. I don't necessarily always check the YouTube chat. But the Optimus Prime, it's not the Optimus Prime, it's Optimus Prime. So that's his handle. So that's pretty awesome that's your handle on YouTube. Said, "I like all the War for Cybertron Transformers. It was really good. Don't know why you guys don't like it." And that actually makes me happy. I'm glad that there are people that like it.
I think we're too old for it.
Maybe.
Like, if I was going to boil it down to one concept, I legitimately think that's it. We're too old for what this is trying to do.
Possibly. Maybe too close to Transformers. I think it's not.
Yeah. I think too connected to the material. It's something that, like you said, going to work better for people who have not really been, you know, deeply into Transformers for many, many years. It's going to be retreaded material for us, and it's just not going to work as well.
So, I guess, you know, I'm not going to call this a major spoiler because I don't think it really had anything hardly at all to do with the series so much. In the series, the Primal called Optimus Nemesis, you know, because apparently in the future, Optimus Prime becomes Nemesis Prime. Spoilers. And then that's, was that the last episode or the next last episode when that actually gets explored?
I think the final two episodes.
Yeah, like, that didn't do a thing for me. It seemed, like, awkward to me, the whole confrontation.
Yeah, that seemed more like they wanted to do a whole season of Beast Wars, but they also had to wrap up the trilogy itself, so they had to cram that in. They had to truncate the Beast Wars part and then cram in the conclusions of the trilogy, which probably by itself would have been, fit out to a whole season to wrap things up.
Yeah. Two more things. Well, actually, I guess one more thing. There is a major character. This was in the press materials from Netflix to not share this in pre-release spoilers. There is a death that is accounted for in this that is actually pretty tasteless. It's totally unnecessary and kind of tasteless, and it just didn't leave me with the warm fuzzies. Like, not that any death should leave you with the warm fuzzies, but it just felt passé.
I was honestly expecting when they revealed that had happened off screen, which is like a big part of why it's so tasteless. Like, it was a completely off screen thing. It didn't even get to register as an event they showed you. I was honestly expecting that moment that, like, the conclusion of this is going to be all of this is going to be reversed, you know, when they succeed in the final mission.
No, it wasn't. That I had the same thought. Like, oh, they're going to fix all this.
The way that was structured felt like that's where they were going with this. And at the end, it's just like, yep, everybody's still dead.
Yep. There you go. Everybody's still dead.
Maybe that's not going to be the show title.
It should be the show title. Okay.
You know, and then needs to have like that Shockwave issue 5 of the G1 series where all are dead, and it says, you know, everyone is, you know, kind of something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure out what the actual show title is going
to
be.
Whatever happened to Shockwave anyway?
He's still on Cybertron, right?
I don't know. I can't remember. Because I thought part of the side plot in Earthrise was Shockwave working to leave the planet, and I thought he might have actually done so.
I don't remember.
Me either. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. And just one more thing, and I'll shut up. I think, and again, going back to my review, this is, I think, the 20th Transformers series that I've watched in my life. Maybe I did a rough count. Maybe more than that. You've got to do something to hook me so that it's memorable, so that I want to remember it. And that never happened anywhere within the trilogy. It really needs to happen in the first part. And that was lacking.
Like, to compare it to something like kind of contemporary here, Cyberverse, with its 10-minute episodes, its first season hooked me just for the fact that, like, they used almost that entire first season as framing devices to animate snippets of just, like, random pieces of Cybertron history.
Yeah.
Like, it was 8 or 9 episodes, half episodes of like just general world building. It was really interesting, and it got me connected to and interested in the series. And even though it went in a different direction after that, like, I was used to the writing style and the animation style. I liked what the show was, and I wanted to keep watching it, and I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that you don't get that here.
No.
No.
Diecast, unfortunately not.
Any other parting thoughts?
Oh, ooh. No. Yeah, I didn't think it was the best one.
Really? What's the best one? Which one?
The first one kind of grabbed me. The second one, you know, kind of left us on a cliffhanger. And then, I don't know, I didn't like the flow. I didn't like the story. I didn't like the ending. It just, there were parts of it that were good. And like, you know, Chris says, I don't want to, you know, talk bad about something that, you know, people were put a lot of time into. And but it just, to me, it just missed what the whole series was before we got to the third the third part of the trilogy.
I mean, I could see somebody liking the first part the best. I honestly could. I don't know about the second part, but but I think I could understand somebody liking Siege the best.
If Earthrise had been 13 episodes, where they could have like slowed down and actually had some time to do some episodic adventures in like wacky places, like that could have been the strongest season just for the variety of stuff they could have done, but like it was just too constrained.
Yeah.
And Earthrise really wasn't Earthrise. It was Transformers in space was basically what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did anybody get anything this week? Chris, go ahead. I'm going to mute.
All right. So I've got the, I don't have the box in here. I would hold it up for a quick summary view, but I've got the World Collide set. Panda Strong sent me one he found locally, and believe me, he really took one for the team on that one. So thank you so much, Panda Strong, for getting this to me. So just to cover the first question, yes, Fingry has loose knees. It can sort of stand up, but not very well. Therefore, I have it in monster bot mode, which this actually holds together quite well.
It looks good in that mode.
So this is the fifth technically, since I had Twinferno and Double Cross. This is the fourth unique, I guess, copy of this I have, and I believe this is the first one I have where all these tail pieces actually snap together in place for the alternate mode. Every other one, you just kind of mash them loosely into the place they're supposed to go, and they either stay or they don't. Like this one, there is audible clicks and snaps, and it feels like it's actually locking together. It was a very novel experience transforming this. I was quite surprised. So this is not the best way I can describe how this Fangry is very Transformers universe, like 2008, where, you know, you get a mold that kind of is an okay starting point, and you maybe get a new part if you're lucky added to it to tie it in a little bit more, but like this is a very, we have this mold available, it's kind of close, let's color it like that and give it a new name, and that's your G1 reference. And I actually appreciate it on that level. It's an interesting kind of nostalgia for me, because I love the creativity in Transformers universe, both Transformers universes really, in making those the legacy characters out of toys that had nothing to do with them. And this is not like a bad take at Fangry for the most part. This is built off of the Grotusk tooling primarily. So it's got new hands attached so that the hands are facing the right way in both modes. And so the elbows are reversible. So technically you can use either set of hands in either mode. But if you use the robot hands for both, you're not going to have like furry hands for the monster form. On the other flip side, though, you could have the furry monster hands for the robot if that's something you want to do. Like either one will work equally. They'll be oriented correctly and everything. The jaw opens, although it's stiff past a certain point. Like it'll go that far open. And it is a really stiff hinge. It's probably the tightest joint on there. The one part that kind of bugs me of how they did this, the wolf head has to peg down in here, so you can't actually open the cockpit for the Titan Master without pulling the wolf head back first, and then you can lift up the cockpit and find Briscoe in there. But you can't leave the head in place. It's got to pop back off of its clips before you can open that hatch. It secures it down very solidly. So let's see. Also in that set was this Bumblebee. So I spent the last few days thinking over this, of what they could have done with this mold as a Bumblebee and make it be like at least somewhat compelling. And unfortunately, I've come up with the answer that they could have pretty easily done, and it's going to make some people sad that it didn't actually happen. They could have put a black stripe on this and glued an emergency light to the roof and maybe a new head and made it an animated Bumblebee reference.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. That'd have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have actually given it like some kind of purpose and like a reason to be in this body form instead of something, you know, Volkswagen shaped. But no, it's just an incongruous sedan Bumblebee instead.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was thinking maybe it could have been Tap Out or Glyph. The body style wouldn't have been quite right, but...
Well, for Tap Out, it would.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. But, you know, that would have been really interesting to get Tap Out in that set.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, if the line wasn't Buzzworthy Bumblebee, I would absolutely agree. Like, you know, we could have made this a different character that uses this body style, even make it Bumper, you know, put a different head on it and make it Bumper. But since it's Buzzworthy Bumblebee, the set had to have a Bumblebee in it. And since the Volkswagen tooling is apparently off the table for this use, at least, like, I was trying to come up with what Bumblebee thing can you do with this that would actually, like, kind of fit the body shape that you have to work with. And an animated reference probably would have been the best thing they could have done. Even acknowledging that it would have taken a few extra new parts, which, you know, basically all of that went into Fangree, because I'm 99% sure they didn't just have alternate Fangree parts on that MonsterBot tooling sitting waiting to be used. I think those are new creation for this use. So Bumblebee comes with the same bazooka accessory, this time in green. So apparently this is a reference to an episode of the G1 cartoon where Ironhide has a copy of the same style launcher that Cliffjumper used in green. So if you have an Ironhide, this goes with Ironhide now instead of Bumblebee, technically. There's also, this is not going to show up well on the webcam, a little Allspark D20 thing.
Ooh.
Polyhedron.
Yep.
It's cast in translucent yellow, so the details don't show up super well. But, like, if you, you know, dry brush some gold across the surface of this or something and actually, like, picked out some of those details, I think that would make it really pop. So it has on one end a 3mm port, so you can plug it into, like, a blast effect port on a figure. On the other hand, it has a, on the other end, it has a socket, and the socket is sized and shaped where it will plug into a kind of 5mm port, like some of the blast effects have on the end. So you can have a rocket powered Allspark for some reason. It's very strange. If you have a figure with a 5mm post with a 3mm socket in the middle of it, which is a very uncommon thing because even Minicon ports aren't those measurements, you know, it would be able to plug on that way too. But the way this is shaped, I can only think this is meant for plugging another blast effect into. Maybe it's like a pass-through thing, but it's a very weird use for having an attached Allspark cube and then having a blast effect coming off of it. So I'm not exactly sure what their real intent was with that. So then we go into some of the better random things out of this, which is not to say that Fangree is not a better thing out of this. I just kind of started on the top and, you know, working my way back the other way. So there's Nemesis Primal, which looks really nice in person. The purple really stands out and pops. I like the teal on here. It's not like a huge departure from the regular Optimus Primal deco overall, because it's still primarily black, but like the new pops of color really do change the visual identity. And of course there is the alternate head sculpt, which
that looks really nice.
There it goes. Yeah, it's really good. I would probably buy another normal-ish colors Optimus Primal with the battle mask head on. Because it's not, you know, specifically an evil Optimus head sculpt. It's just Optimus Primal with his eyes squinted and the battle mask down, which he did several times on the show in the first season. So it would work for a normal colors version, too. Everything about this is just like the regular retail one. Otherwise, there's not really, like, any physical variances. There is a little bit of joint looseness. The ankles have a little bit more play in them than what the original copy did. And that's kind of a trend in this set. Bumblebee doesn't seem to have the loose joints somehow. It seemed to completely escape that, but all the other ones have that to some degree. Nemesis Primal is probably the next least. But then we have Black Arachnia,
which is
in the best deco ever.
It's amazing.
Nice.
Isn't it, though? So this is Black Arachnia based on the Beast Wars card art. Not the original Beast Wars toy, the card art for the original Beast Wars toy. There is a difference. Unfortunately, this one does have some loose joints. The hip joints are pretty loose on it. The ankles could be a little bit tighter. it's not like falling down loose like Fangry almost is, but it's definitely, you know, some tolerance issues on this. But it's okay because it looks amazing and I can't believe that they did this with this. One thing I wasn't expecting, it didn't really show very clearly in photos up to now. The black parts are not just black. There is like metallic blue almost dry brushed over them. So they catch light really well. There's variance and some kind of depth from that. It's a like super visually interesting figure. Oh, and of course it has the alternate head, which we saw this unpainted with a couple of the early leaks of Black Arachnia, the regular colors Black Arachnia. And this is loosely toy based. So like it all fits together that way. I understand the spider legs can be removed from the arms and put on the retail colors one, which makes that a little bit more show accurate. I haven't done that yet. From the pictures I've seen, I actually do like the way the black legs look with this deco, so I'm probably going to make that switch at some point. But yeah, I'm super pleased with how this looks in person. The colors, like John said last week, the colors are not as saturated looking as some of the photos made them out to be, but it still is really, it really pops. I've been calling this in my head Ninja Force Black Arachnia, just because like that's kind of the sense I get about this. It reminds me of G.I. Joe Ninja Force.
Yeah, she could be like Shebang or something. Or as my nephews called him, T-Ja Bang.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to go along with this, because there's, you know, several loose joints, I also went and got a bottle of floor polish today.
That's smart.
So I'm going to do some shoring up of these joints at some point here. Let's see. I also, since last week, got G2 Ramjet.
Jelly.
Wow.
Mine will be here next week, though.
It's nice. Nice.
I still haven't got any idea when mine's coming.
Same.
So I got a pretty good QC draw with this one. I think I haven't identified any major problems. The worst thing I've found on this is just that the tampograph of the name is not level from one side to the other. So on this side, it actually kind of falls down underneath the intake. But, you know, As QC problems can go on these things these days, I will happily accept this as the one thing that went wrong.
It's like if I stickered it, basically.
Yeah, or if I stickered it. Yeah. That's why I don't like stickering things.
If there's like a line in there that I can, you know, put the sticker flush against, I can
keep things level.
But yeah, otherwise it's a crap
shit. Yeah, having to do it freehand is like a disaster waiting to happen for me. I don't have an original G2 Ramjet, believe it or not, but like I'm very satisfied with how the colors came out on this. From the way that's the webcam pretty. Looks, the purple is much more muted than it is in person. It is a very vibrant, saturated purple. The teal's coming across basically right, but like the colors pop for me in just the right way, and I'm really happy with how this turned out. And since I was never able to afford to get the BotCon one made off of the original classic Seeker mold, I'm glad to finally have one. Let's see, going into off-topic stuff.
I don't have a Ramjet. I need to get a Ramjet Advantage one. Sorry, I just realized that. You go to eBay.
So, I don't know how on the original it connects, but like I would love to have an electronic sound pack to put on this one.
It's got a peg on
it. Is it a 5mm peg?
Maybe, yeah, I guess it looks roughly that size, yeah.
Yeah, if it's a 5mm peg and it's central like this, like...
Yeah, the peg is, it's actually not far off from where the port is on the back of that one.
Yeah, as long as it's center body, so it's not, you know, kicked off to one side, the like, vintage, that would be fine.
The vintage peg, though, has a port and not a peg. The toy has the peg that's sticking out of it, so, which is silly looking.
Well... Non-F makes 5mm adapters, I think, yeah.
Or female-to-female
adapters. Alternately, there's old Zoidbox kits that you could get that would have appropriate connectors for that.
I've got a little stack of those up there somewhere, I think.
Okay, yeah. Dude, there should be parts in there that will do exactly what you need.
Oh, this is dangerous knowledge. Okay, putting that on the back burner for the moment. do you remember last week I was talking about how I wish that PKE meter toy that's been around Walmart for months would go on clearance for like, mm-hmm. you know, $10 or something?
I got mine for $10. You got yours for
$4.
Oh, dang.
Did you have to put new batteries in it, or did the batteries?
I did.
Yeah, the batteries are dead in the two that I got. I got mine for $10.
Yeah, so I stood there pushing the buttons on every one of those PKE meters they had, trying to find one that would still work, and they just don't. These have been there for 8 or 10 months, I think. They've been a long time.
More than that. I got mine after the pandemic started last year.
So no wonder all the batteries are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like late spring, early summer of 2020.
So what I ended up doing, trying to pick one out, because I wanted, you know, knowing that all this stuff is motorized, I wanted to make sure that, you know, all the innards actually worked and it wasn't just the battery. So I found one where I could push the button and see a little flicker in the side LEDs.
Yeah.
So at least I knew it was making contact inside, and that probably worked. Because, you know, if I got one that was just completely dead, I was not looking forward to having to open it up and try to disable the motorized parts of it so I could, you know, switch it to manual. But yeah, so I got that, and for $4, I'm very happy with it. It's a very satisfying thing to just stand there and wave around like a nut job for a few minutes and then put away for years. And then the last thing I got, so that was kind of off topic, although it's, you know, Hasbro licensed, so it's tangential, but this is certainly off topic. It's SD Gundam G Generation Genesis.
Ah, you got it.
Through, so the price on Amazon did not come down any.
Mm-hmm.
The price on Amazon is $20 higher than what I paid for the one I got for you. But I did have over $30 in Amazon credit and rewards points I was able to put into this. So
nice.
I still got the price down, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. So plus reading some of the comments, some of the people were leaving on your videos that Play Asia also ran out of their supply, made me think that probably this is not in production anymore and it's not going to come down in price.
That's entirely possible, because I think it was released like 5 years ago. So yeah, it's probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Though it's definitely out of print then. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Crossroads is the more recent one, and it's from 2019. That's actually available domestically on Steam and goes on sale sometimes.
See, I looked into that one, but it's AU only.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and at some point I might want to pursue that too, but like for right now, I find it more funny to take, like, you know, overpowered future units into old UC settings like you've been doing in your videos.
Mm-hmm.
This is just more immediately entertaining to me, so I want to go with that. Also, like, I've seen all the UC stuff, and, like, at this point, half the AU stuff I've just kind of skipped over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... I haven't had time to do anything with that yet, because it got delivered literally, like, 5:30, so, like, I got in from one last look for Rekgar, which was a failure, and... You know, the Amazon guy got here at about the time I was coming in, so I got that and had to come in and eat dinner, and then we were doing this, so I haven't even got the shrink wrap off it yet.
Mm.
So that'll be something to do later/tomorrow instead of things that are productive.
Mm.
Like I do anything productive. But that's all I got this week.
Cool. Diecast, you get anything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
First thing I got is Dr. Wu Optimus Prime.
Tiny.
Yeah, it's someone actually on Twitter, I posted a couple photos of it, and someone actually put it next to the world's smallest Transformers Optimus Prime, and it's about the same size.
I have one of those.
It has a pretty good transformation for this size figure, which is of course I was trying to do it real quick on camera and it's not working out. But yeah, he's really cool. He's awesome. I'm glad I have him. They're actually doing this in three colors. They're doing it in regular Optimus Prime. They're also doing They're doing the Shattered Glass Optimus Prime, and they're doing a dead Optimus Prime in this same mold.
You know, I don't know how much benefit it was to BotCon in the long run, but like Shattered Glass sure was a boon to third parties looking for ways to extend their uses of their Optimus Primes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. just trying to transform him real quick because he, you know, of course it's not quick because
you're on camera.
Yeah, and he's got quite a transformation. Like the wheels even fold up under the body and stuff. Oh, wow. Yeah, so here we go. Hopefully I have this right. Yeah. Oh, extend the legs.
Yeah, I thought they looked a little short.
So yeah, he's a decent prime from the front.
From the front, you say?
Yeah, from the back, he's a little...
Oh, well, that's not any worse than the core class figure, I would say. Yeah. So, like, for as small as that is, that's still an accomplishment.
Yeah. I love these Dr. Wu, these little tiny figures. I actually got two more. I got their Soundwave and their Beachcomber.
Hmm. Which comes as a set. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Because I already had the Sound Blaster, because Sound Blaster came out first. So, of course, I had to get Soundwave, too. Also got another...
Ractonite. Which one is this?
Ractonite?
He it says on the front.
$11 at GameStop.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
On the, cool. the website. So I ordered a bunch of stuff from GameStop's website. That was clearance between their McFarlane figures, and I got like one Transformers figure. Also from Target, Brian probably got this too. I got a T-Rex. I don't know why. He's actually pretty dull looking from the window. Like yeah, the one that comes in the Jurassic Park set looks so much nicer as a figure.
Even on the original T-Rex, the robot mode was never the appealing part.
This one is because of Chris and Rob, who were finding cheap Generation Select Star Convoy.
Ah, nice.
I also found a relatively cheap one on Taobao. So I was like, I went, and there was, unless I'm wrong, which is possible, I thought there was a knockoff of this, but it was upscaled. So
Really?
I was actually worried I was going to get the knockoff upscale, but no, this looks.
How do I find the knockoff upscale?
The official. So
with the upscale, you got to imagine that the Star Crest is a little less prone to breaking because there's.
But you see, you have to also take into account that the plastic quality is probably worse.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm actually scared to open this since Brian broke his.
Okay, but like so few people have broken Star Convoy.
But others have.
Yeah, but yes, Brian.
But a very small number.
There's some things that I don't have down here that I got. Like I Origins Bumblebee, which I absolutely love. I raved about it on Twitter at Diecast2, if you want to see. And a lot of people liked it, so I guess they feel the same way I do.
Yeah, I got to thinking since last week, like, out of any of the Generations Bumblebees we have right now, if they were going to take one of them and color it blue and sell it as Glyph, I would want it to be that Origins one.
Yeah, I can see that.
With a new head, mind you.
Hmm.
Toy base, preferably.
Yeah. And then today, from Target.
Jealous.
Ah!
I got a ship.
So, I'll say this. It doesn't look like you're... straining at all to hold it in that one hand. I'm assuming that it's not very heavy.
It's actually pretty
heavy. The weight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good amount of weight. Like I was surprised by the box how heavy the figure was.
I think the shipping weight was like 8 or 9 pounds.
Okay.
I really like it. It's more actually my camera's doing the color pretty accurately. It's like a creamsicle. It's not like an orange. It's not like a yellow. Which some of the, you know, it either looks, you know, orange.
It's a bit macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, this is, and I gotta wonder if they're if this was just like an early development thing, or there's going to be another arc coming out, because you can see the spot where you can put a Transformers or Decepticon label on the wing, and then they were like, just, you know, put this big emblem above it. So I don't know if that was like early development or they have another plan for this thing.
I suspect it's more an early development thing, and they were tweaking the deco sheets pretty far into the process. Like, you know, they probably tested with insignias that fit into these chevrons.
Yeah.
And decided, you know, we want bigger on our, you know, Autobot flagship. Because, yeah, like,
I'm not sure.
Good point. Like, if you see how they tampo on the Autobot symbol onto just the surface in front of that, like, you know, it's dipping down into different reliefs, and it looks kind of weird. Like, it obviously was not intended for it to be done that way.
Yeah.
But there's not really a big flat surface to support that. And I think by the time they decided they wanted to have the big Autobot logos on there, it was far, far too late to affect physical changes to make a bigger spot to put that.
Yeah, it actually is shaped more like a Decepticon spot.
Well, what it is shaped like the outline of a rub sign.
Okay.
So it's got, you know, the Decepticon and the Autobot silhouette basically at the same time.
Yeah, I can see that too.
But, I mean, you know, you raise an interesting point, and there is one of those possible future cards, those golden disc cards that references an evil arc. So that they may be future-proofing themselves for that purpose, too. Like, you know, if they decide it's viable or possible to actually release it as, like, a selects, like, Black Zarok.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I don't think I would. I mean, I like the arc, don't get me wrong. I just don't think I need an evil one.
I don't know. I want an evil arc.
Well, I think you'd just like to have an arc at this point.
This is true.
But the way I found this is I actually used the Target app and just put in my zip code. Yeah. And it wasn't one of those, like, nowhere it was available for, like, pickup. It was one of those buy-in store. So I actually had to go in the store and hope that someone would pull it out of the back for me.
Right.
And I got lucky. And they actually went and pulled it out of the back for me.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that it was funny because when I was waiting for like 15 minutes by the toy section, and when he came up, he was like, "Here you go," and I was like, "Oh my god!" You know, like, "Oh god, you actually found it!" I was so shocked. I was like, "Thank you."
Well, it's hard to miss.
Yeah, but it took a while, and I you know, half the time I expect them to come back and be like, nope, couldn't find it. It's on a, you know, a pallet that you know, we can't access.
That's what happened to me last week when I went to go get the arc from a local Target. They're doing a major reset, and it was in storage. I was like, boo.
Yeah, they're all doing major resets right now.
Well, this one is doing a all much more major reset because they're also adding a Disney store to their toy section.
That's a pretty major reset.
Yeah. Walmarts right now are also going through resets. Just like my local ones are doing it at their own damn pace. Like, there's been a stack of planogram sheets just sitting on a shelf for the better part of a week now, and nothing's actually been touched yet. So I'm not actually expecting anything new to turn up locally until that process is done, whenever the hell they get around to it. Resentful? No, not me.
But yeah, I think that's all that I got, other than another Fans Toys Springer. So I got my third Fan Toys Springer. That's all that I got that I can remember.
Cool.
That's funny.
Who else?
John? Yeah, I'll go. I don't really have anything that hasn't been touched on already. I did pick up the Marvel Legends Ironheart from the same wave that yours, the Modular Iron Man and the Stealth Iron Man came from. So I said it because she is one per case, because I was there when the case hit. Okay. And she's one per case. That's why I want to see if Matt needed the Build-A-Figure part for Ursa Major. And I got her because I don't have any real connection to the character, but it's a really great looking suit. And
yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, so I decided to go ahead and get that. Just again, being a one per case, so she'll be hard to find later on. Also, I got T-Rex. I got the World's Collide set. And today from Target, I got Rodimus Prime.
So I
was up last Friday morning. I was up about 4 a.m. feeding Massey. And I had an email on my phone. I was just checked it before I went back to bed. Your item is back in stock. Oh, that never works, but I clicked the link. It was there in stock at Target. I'm not 100% sure if it came from my store locally, because there's not even a tag up for this that I can see. So, you know, because Target's fulfillment is kind of weird on how they, you know, do that. But so he came and, I'm looking forward to opening him up when I got some time and everything's not so crazy.
Cool.
So never?
Shorter than that.
Oh, okay.
Cool. What else?
That is it. Everything else I've got is in transit and not here yet.
Okay. Rob, what you get?
I got two things. Thanks to Don, I now have Origins Bumblebee, which, yeah, I really like that. It's a little bit complicated because it has to be to turn, you know, a Volkswagen man into a flat space car. But also just it's one of those things where I'm very forgiving of it because it's a figure I always wanted and never really expected them to make. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. That is really, really nice. And secondly, I got myself a new 2DS XL off of eBay because the price of the new 3DS and new 2DS are going up, and I wanted to grab one before they got too out of hand. And right now, if you go to eBay, you can find people selling Nintendo refurbished ones for about what the original retail price was. So not a horrendous amount of markup. Enough markup, but not as bad as the new 3DS XL usually is. And, you know, as was my experience with the Nintendo refurbed 3DS I got a few years ago, it looked brand new out of the box. It worked perfectly. It looked good. And I'm pretty happy with it. So it took a long time to transfer everything from one system to the other, but, you know, that happens. But that is the extent of what I got this week.
Nice. Cool. So just as a heads up, I'm in the chat on YouTube, and Frank has asked if he's like, hey, have you guys done a review lately? I'm like, no. You know, we don't do, like, Diecast moved all of his toy reviews over to his channel, and, like, we wanted to make sure we sort of kept things consistent around the podcast on our YouTube channel, which is, you know, really our focus. But Diecast has his reviews at tfradio.net/reviews. And also, Diecast, you also have your YouTube channel, and I'm trying to remember what your handle is on YouTube. As Frank was asking.
RFC Reviews?
But, like, how to, is it youtube.com/RFC Reviews?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Or tfradio.net/reviews one.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember how you got to it. So, but there you go, Frank. Hopefully, you're in sync with the stream. So, hey, so I got some stuff. I have 3 packages right now in Cincinnati from DHL that I'll have next week to talk about. And I've had something I've been waiting for forever from the UK. So I don't know when I'll get it, but
is that the one that's stuck in Atlanta?
Yeah, that's one of them. So Diecast was right. I got my T-Rex. So funny enough, this T-Rex, I checked Target.com 3 times a day for like 3 weeks to see when I would get this thing. And it arrived like the same day that it showed up locally at my Target. I could just go pick it up. So I put all that time and effort, and I got a red card just so I could get it. But I have to say that red card is totally worth it. I do not regret it at all. The debit card doesn't cost any more.
Plus, didn't you get free shipping. Talk you into that like a couple years ago?
You should have. The debit card is totally worth it. Diecast was right. You save 5% on everything at Target and free shipping on Target.com. Plus, they gave me like a 40% off a $40 off coupon that I used today for something that I'll have next week.
That's what I did with Skylinks last year.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. So let's see here. A couple things that I got though. I think I talked about last year how in over the last several months about how I'm just so disillusioned with G.I. Joe because all of these Cobra Island figures have been so hard to get. But luckily, Target has made them available and Hasbro Pulse. So I got several of the Cobra Troopers over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. I got my first Viper this week, as well as I think I did actually order two of the Baronesses. So, but so I'm back on the G.I. Joe bandwagon. Again, none of this was found in store, so keep that in mind when I get to my point here. My pre-order for the spoiler pack from Kingdom finally arrived. I don't know. I haven't come across a single Walmart that has these in stock.
I never saw the Earthrise spoiler pack on a shelf either.
I think I saw it once. So this came. I don't know that I'll ever open it. I think I'm at the post-opening point of my hoarding.
But how will you ever know what's in it if you don't unbox it, Brian?
I know, right? Two more Transformers items and like two small off topics. I tried to cancel this. This is Thundercrapper, aka Shitstorm. This is my pre-order. My pre-order arrived today. I found this in store 2 months ago. I was going through my Walmart.com orders and I saw this was still there. And I tried to cancel it. This was a few days ago. And I never got notification whether or not it was canceled or not. But the Walmart.com techno gods looked down and said no. So I'm not going to send it back. I guess I can use multiples. I don't know. And none of this was found in store. I've been so desperate to find something in store myself that I bought this crappy Bumblebee Stinger 2-pack from Buzzworthy Bumblebee. I don't know why.
I literally bought the worst 2-pack of all three of them.
Literally bought the worst one. But I wanted some. I cannot tell you. I cannot express how many times I've gone to Target. Dozens of times over the last 4 months. And I have found nothing. I found one, the core class figure, the green one.
Dracodon.
I found Dracodon at my local Walmart.
There's a ton of them here.
I found the red Starscream. That's like the only luck I've had with Transformers in store in months. So, my wife, so the Buzzworthy Bumblebee, the Origins Bumblebee last week, my wife actually found that. That was not me. So I think I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I'm still ticked off that dude just happened to be driving through and found the one Studio Series slag that my local Target got. Oh, I'm still ticked off about that. Okay. So a couple other things. One semi off topic, one's pretty off topic. I got my second and last new Diaclone toy. This is the Tri-Rambler.
Hmm.
It's a motorcycle and like beast sort of thing and robot. I just love the look of it. And in motorcycle mode, it looks a lot like Leader One. Psykill or Bike Robo. So I dug it, so I got it. And I'm never buying another one of these again because I have
too many. How much was that?
Like $120, I think.
That's why you're not buying anymore.
I'm not buying anymore, yeah. Yeah, so these are, and I've said this before, with Battle Convoy, these are undeniably premium products. They feel like premium products. They feel like premium toys. They don't feel like art pieces. They don't feel like masterpiece-style toys. They feel like the ultimate, almost like the ultimate realization of like the transforming robot in a format that still says I'm a toy and is still fun. But also, they're very expensive. In a similar vein, I got my first and last Hot Toys toy several months ago, and I just didn't like it. I don't like the size. I don't like the form factor. if you like dolls, that's great. They're dolls, and I just don't want it. It doesn't really fit my collecting. But there's nothing wrong with playing with dolls. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Like, Migos are basically dolls, and they're cool. But I got my first, and hopefully, maybe, probably last, because they are more expensive than I want to spend. But the Mezco 112 scale figure.
112, yeah.
It's Dr. Fate. I had to have it because it looked awesome. And
I was tempted by that, but it's like the wrong costume for me.
Okay, Don. It's amazing. Just the detail on it, the quality. It's action figure scaled. The way that the cape flows and you can shape it, but it still doesn't look fake. Just the attachments, like the hands and the heads. I mean, it's a super premium action figure, and I've got a couple of Mafex figures coming out later this summer that I'll pair this with. But it is pretty flippin' amazing. I'm just incredibly impressed with what it is as far as an action figure goes. I could see myself buying more of these, but I'm not going to. Like, I'm basically giving up on Marvel Legends, pretty much. And I'm pretty much giving up on comic figures, except for characters that I really love. Like, you know, I have a dozen different or more Captain Americas and Spider-Man figures. I don't have that with Dr. Fate, so I had to get it. So I will probably, like, I'm getting the Mafex Azrael Batman, because how many of those do we get? You know, it looks pretty amazing. It's stupid. It's a stupid design. And it's something, you know, that was important to me when I was 14. So, I pretty much had to get it. And if I get figures like this, it'll be characters that are novel and not characters that, you know, get like a million different figures every year. So that is what I got. And I guess actually I was going to make a horrible joke about being 14 and figures that are important to me and how I probably would also get a Kathy Ireland figure, but I probably shouldn't go into that. So I want to thank our patrons at the Touch Tier, patreon.com/TFRadio. If you're a patron and you're at the Touch Tier, we will thank you every week. And you can find the list at tfradio.net/credits, which is what I'm doing right now. Kevin Dorsey, Ryan Bona, Cheesy Patty, Emmett Sresovich, Rabbits, Hector Bones, Jonathan James, Nathan Sampy, Ness, Joey Russell, Jason Hiley, Mike Mallory, Jason W. Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton, Spider Bob, Mighty Orbots, Black and White Now in Color, Nate Wilson, and Sabertron Toys. Thank you all so much. You can find out more about our Patreon at patreon.com/TFRadio. And if you're a patron at the Touch Tier, you can be on our History on the Fives podcast, which comes out every week. Diecast hosted this week. Recorded it last night. I'll probably have it posted tomorrow. That podcast is only available to patrons to listen to. But if you're at the Touch Tier, you can be on it. It's pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
I can't wait to listen to it. I really can't. I am on Twitter at bkilby, and you can find my other stuff at briankilby.com. John DeLune is not here. He is at that John D everywhere. Rob Springer also not here. He is at Robo Rob Springer on Twitter, at zonebase.org. And Rob, how do people get a hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter at Figure Reviewers or Rob Flails. Rob Flails is the Twitter for Flail Throughs, my YouTube channel. I do Gundam games on YouTube, and it started the last week, the third anniversary of Gundam Battle Operation 2. The new Gundam got added to the game, and that's a lot of fun to mess with. This week is going to be the Sazabi, and that should go up in about 3 hours from the time of this recording. So hopefully I will get it. But if you want to check out the weekly update for that game, Thursday mornings at youtube.com/flailthroughs. And if you like what I do there, patreon.com/flailthroughs, where you can request various rounds and specific mobile suits and things like that. And of course, I do have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/claylist.
Excellent. Don.
I am reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Very cool. Chris?
I'm personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I don't know why you would follow me, but do it anyway. Sometimes I post like Transformers toy deals I find. Like this week, Hasbro's eBay store had tracks up with free shipping for anybody who wants to get a nerve-wracking, kind of not great engineered tracks toy. Okay, so maybe that's not the best example,
that's
but...
That's a good description of it, though.
Yes, but it's not a good example of why to follow me now, is it? Yeah. That's what I was working on there. But, you know, things in that vein. For my toy photography stuff on social media, I'm at Play With Photos on Twitter. On Instagram, it's Play With Photography, but I don't really post there that much at this point because Instagram's gotten weird. And, of course, my photography work can be found collected at playwithphotography.com. And if you want to show some support, help me to do this, or just you like what you see, I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. And you can pitch in for as little as $2 per month. Oh, and an Amazon wishlist at tfradio.net/chrislist.
Cool. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at diecast2. I'm usually pretty active on Twitter. If I'm not on there in a couple days, please come check on me. I may have croaked. But other than that, you can see my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews, and you can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can find me at Wildwood this week.
What is Wildwood?
I am out of here. It's a shore. It's kind of like, you know.
Oh, it's like
Myrtle Beach or something.
Oh, your family is on vacation without you. So are you joining them?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I love how Diecast's family vacations always start without him.
Yeah. That's just me because I can't take the beach for that long. Like I can go down for a couple days.
That's understandable.
Yeah. And I also have a wish list at tfradio.net/diecast list. I was updating it the other day. I don't know. I don't remember particularly what I did, but I know I did something.
Cool.
I've been real big on Lego, the Lego Star Wars vehicles. Cause I had, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see I bought that Lego, not Lego. It was a Millennium Falcon book from Ollie's. And it was one of those cardboard put together Millennium Falcons. And I worked on it for like an hour and a half. And it got to the point where things just kept falling off it. And I couldn't get it to stay together before I even got it fully assembled. And I threw it in the trash.
Oh.
I'm like, if I want a Millennium Falcon to display, I'm just going to get the Lego one. And I'm going to, you know, do the light kit for it because Amazon has light kits for that particular they do it for the, you know, any of the Lego sets that are well known, like the Millennium Falcon and stuff, and then got a really nice stand for it too, so it's going to be a really nice display because it's going to be a Lego Millennium Falcon with lights with a stand. And I got all that stuff at tfradio.net/Amazon.
I would have just bought a bottle of glue. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it's true. Cool. Okay. Anything else? Nope. Okay. See you next week, Captain.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?